Good morning and welcome to the house of the Lord. We welcome you here on this Palm Sunday. We praise God for an opportunity to gather together, and it's good to hear all the chit-chat and everyone's catching up with one another. We praise God for fellowship. And we want to just cover any church business that we need to share this morning here before we begin. We do want to invite you back here this evening for Love Feast. It is the Brethren Love Feast, and we invite you to the Lord's table. I know there's some concerns about those that can't get down to wash feet, and that is perfectly fine. We'd rather have you here and participate and then not be here because of that. And so one of the options that you can do is to wash your hands. We'll pass a basin, and you can wash the hands of the person next to you instead of getting down and washing feet. That way you can still participate. So either way, come and join us in the Lord's Supper. Next Sunday, of course, is Easter, and I'm sure we have some announcements about that. Deb, do you have anything you want to share?
Yes. There will be an egg hunt directly after the worship service next Sunday. Okay? So if you, the little ones, and I'm going to need people, it's going to be for the little guys, say, you know, not teens, but just the little guys, because I was told that the older kids aren't interested, and I'm thinking, my oldest is 25, and my 21 and 16, and they're already saying, well, you are going to have your egg hunt, right? So I'm not sure where that's coming from, but anyway. So egg hunt directly after the service next Sunday. I forgot to put the container out for the church next door.
I'll go get it.
Okay. We have a container in the back. It's sitting in a bag for donations for the community egg hunt. We always donate every year because it's for the whole community, and what better way to, you know, I heard a pastor on TV this morning, and it just touched me, and I thought if every one of us that are in a church this Sunday morning, whether it be Brethren, Baptist, Church of God, whatever, if they heard that, maybe they would think about it a little bit, because he said, I don't care what church you're from. I don't care if you're a black church, a white church, a brown church, Episcopalian, Brethren, whatever. He said, we are all God's children, and we should all love one another, and don't let that little tiny nitpicking stuff get in the way of that love. So donate generously to the church next door. Bob, you're going to do Love Feast, right?
Okay. Bob, you want to share?
Yeah, just a couple things. I've got to look at my notes here. Paul, I just want to say this, that this week we've had two very kind donations to the church. We've been wanting to get our locks and everything done on the church and redone. And so in the replacement of it, there's two new locks back here in the hallway. And these three here, everything takes the same key, and we got new keys. And that work was donated to the church. And so we need to, I'm not saying where or what it come from. I was requested to keep it quiet, but nevertheless, we need to just lift some prayers for someone there. And then number two, when I picked up the Love Feast meat yesterday, she gave me the ticket. I said, good, Robin, I'll take and give it to the treasurer tomorrow, and you can get a check this coming week. He said, Bob, look at the bottom. She said, it's a donation. Very kind donation. And that bill was $130-some. But we got a lot to be thankful for.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Praise God for those two things. And as far as announcements, you already talked about Love Feast, so that's great. And I guess that's about all I have. So many being here today.
No,
what do you? Oh, you got one.
Oh,
I got it.
Okay, what?
don't forget sunrise service next week. We need pastries because we're going to have a little snack after the service. Then May 1st, unfortunately, but we appreciate him and we're happy for him. The retirement Sunday for Pastor Tracy. We're having a luncheon after the service over at the activity building. We have a sign-up sheet for people that are planning on attending so that the ladies' aide know how many sandwiches to provide. items that people would like to bring. We're providing the sandwiches. We ask that they bring type of dessert, not dessert, salads and jello salads, chips, that type of item. We'll provide a cake.
And the drinks. And the drinks.
Of course, the paper goods. Then don't forget, May the 7th is the church spring bazaar over at the activity building. Okay? And we're having a bake table, so we need food for that bake table. And pass the word and please attend. In the Christmas one, we had a nice turnout, and we really enjoyed a nice socializing with everybody, so it was nice. Hopefully we'll have a good turnout this time.
Amen. Thank you. And one more up here.
And you see the flowers in the windows. There's memory cards attached to each one. If you'd like to purchase one for a loved one, just fill out the card and just see me to pay me. The flowers cost about $10 a piece, so whatever you feel free to give, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
And just a quick reminder, I did post for the next 3 months, or 4 months coming up, for church cleaning. If anybody can take a Sunday, that's great. And if anybody doesn't have a partner to partner up with, call me. I'll be glad to put Ralph in charge of that. No, seriously, call me and I'll be glad, because it works so well when you have one cleaning out here and one doing back there. And with that, too, I want you to be in prayer about Sunday school and Bible school. Things are a little different, the dynamics this year for Bible school. We may not have the ones that really have the working hands this year to do Bible school. So I'm thinking about another option. So be in prayer of that. I'll let you a little later let you know the option. But just be in prayer of the Lord to guide us what we need to do for Bible school. And do we need to start every Sunday for Sunday school? If we do start every Sunday, I would like to have a couple people step up and take a Sunday to teach. Not doesn't have to do every month, but just periodically. Just so the teachers don't get burnt out, because especially when you work away from home or work at home, you get kind of busy. So
thank you.
Just keep that in mind.
Okay. And
do you have something else to add?
Anything else?
Just a reminder, if anyone that I give new keys to or needs new keys, if someone should happen to ask you, do you have a key to the church, please do not put it out to anyone. It's yours for your privacy and nobody else's. So we just want to keep our church safe, and we just take a lot of regard in doing that, and we just thank you for that privilege. Thank you.
I'm just going to add, with next week being Easter Sunday, we will have a Easter sunrise service. We have a program put together, so we do invite you all out. We'll meet here at 6 a.m., we'll gather inside, and then we'll go out and start, hopefully, weather permitting. And also, in the back I have a paper, and today is the last day if anybody wants to order pies for Easter. The auxiliary is doing pies, chocolate, lemon, and coconut custard. So the form's in the back, so if you do, just make sure that you sign up today, because I have to turn them in tomorrow.
Well, you can tell it's the holidays, because we have lots of announcements to share. So let us begin our worship now with this prelude.
Thank you.
Call to worship for today is a Palm Sunday reading from Psalms 118. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let us share together in song. I invite you to stand. We'll sing number 2. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we rejoice in your presence this day. Lord, we celebrate this Passion Sunday, and we ask that your Holy Spirit indeed would come and be present and help us to worship you in spirit and truth. Lift up the name of Jesus, we pray, and we ask your glory would be here and to shine in the week ahead as we celebrate this Holy Week. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just a reminder, we will be setting up for Love Feast tonight, and so anyone that can give us a hand following the service, we'll try to set the tables quickly before we leave for lunch. We have a chance to share together in the things that are on our hearts, so joys and concerns. Who has something that they would like for the body to know about?
Huh? Joys and concerns, too. Our joys is, again, we have the privilege and the love from this young lady from South Carolina here with us for a couple of days. And man, what a heartwarming time it is, but she's special. And then all our family and all of their assistance that they give us in our various duties and our preparations, not only around our house, but everywhere. And also today, just counting the attendance, I don't know if you did yet or not, Tracy. I come up with 38, and let me tell you, that's a joy right there, having every heart here to be able to share in the word that Jesus has for us. And then my concerns, like Carol Simpson had surgery on her thumb, and I want to keep her in her Danny is expected to have upcoming surgery back here on his neck, and also Buddy and Will are having some back issues as well. And I have a continued long list of many, but nevertheless, may God bless them one and all and help them to recuperate.
Thank you. Others?
Yes.
I have two. The one, my sister Irene, she's been in failing health the last, 6 months. She passed out last Sunday at her home, and they found her and took her to the hospital. And they sent her to the nursing home or the rehab home and walked her on Monday. She wasn't there to call her. She fell again, sent her back to the hospital. So she's back at rehab at Walkersville again. But I visited her the other day, and her one hand was just black, and she had bruises. She had black and blue bruises all over down her arms on both sides.
Wow.
So yeah, so she's going downhill fast, so she doesn't have to have care. The other one is basically for me. You know that I do a lot of websites, and you know technology is constantly changing, and I'm running into some problems. Decisions I need to make. So I need you to help me pray that I can work through those. He's helped me before. I raised 4 children by myself, and I know that's the only way I got through that. So I know he can help me with this. And I was looking at, I saw a picture, not sure where I saw it, but there was this boy sitting on a rock, and he was thinking, and he said, "Problem, you might be big, but my Lord is bigger than you, than you." So, we have to pick up in that way and just trust the Lord that He can get us through all our problems.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Max.
Frank.
I want to continue to remember Pat with her knee. She did get the injection that past Monday, but the thing of it is that the doctor told her that it could be as much as 6 weeks before she really gets relief from that.
Yeah.
So she continues to suffer with it. Would we just pray that it will take effect a lot sooner than what they anticipate.
Thank you.
Also, mentioned numerous of times about my neighbor, Joe Moser. He was released from the nursing home on Thursday, and he came home, and he seemed to be improving quite well, although he's still on oxygen and contained to the house. You know.
Back to what? Thank you.
Well, Joy, I forgot. There's a couple sitting back here we haven't seen in boot in time.
Great
Scott. We just want to give them a warm welcome back. Russell and Cindy, it's so good to see you back and have you in our service this morning.
Welcome to the Mosers. Over here.
Continue, Ricky and Alan and my sister Debbie. And our school board. They really need our prayers.
Yes.
Put myself on that person.
Your son?
Person testing.
Any others? I'm sure there's lots that are in our hearts and minds, and so let's bring them before the Lord. We invite you to share together in prayer. You feel free to kneel if you are able, and or you can remain seated. Let us pray together. We'll end then with the Lord's Prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give to us to come together and worship you and praise you, to share that which is in our hearts and minds with other like believers. And so, Lord, we bring these petitions before your throne of grace today. Thank you for the opportunity to come boldly into your throne room. Lord, we are grateful for the many blessings of life. Thank you, Lord, for health, for wholeness. Thank you for the positivity rate coming down. Thank you, Lord, for having friends and family and for jobs and for income, for homes that are warm and safe. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of spring, and the beauty of the flowers, the awakening of the earth. We are grateful, Lord, for so many countless blessings, some that we take for granted each day. Lord, we're thankful for family and friends, and we ask, Lord, you keep a hedge of protection around each one. We thank you, Lord, for life, and we pray for those that are mourning the loss of one. We ask for your comfort and your care. We pray for those that are having health issues and difficulties, and so we pray for wisdom for the doctors and nurses. We ask, Lord, for healing and wholeness and for strength. We pray for wisdom in making decisions that affect our future. God, you've heard the names of the ones that have been lifted here this morning. Would you move in a mighty way in each one? We think of what's going on in our world and around us, Lord, and so we want to pray for our schools. We want to pray for leaders here and abroad. Help them to make good decisions. We pray, Father, that you would put in place those that are sensitive to your leading and direction and to your word. We ask, Father, for your hand to be upon our leaders in our churches, and leaders in government, and leaders around the world. God, we are concerned about the Ukraine situation. We ask that you would be with those people, the ones who have lost so many lives, the ones that have had to flee their homes, for the children, Lord, displaced. Thank you, Lord, for those who are reaching out and giving, caring for as many as they can. So we ask, Lord, for more aid. We ask, Lord, for an end to the war. God, you are good and you are great. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in our very troublesome world. We think of those who have come to Christ because of tragedy and difficulty. And we ask, Lord, that your word would continue to go forth in power. And so bless those who are on the front lines, Lord, our missionaries, those who are sharing Christ with those in need. We pray for those that are people who are down on their luck at the last end of their rope. Lord, we pray that they would look up and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. We bless you, Father, for all that you have put into place. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who followed your plan and made salvation possible. And as we enter into this Holy Week, Lord, help us to be mindful of the events of this week that took place in Jesus' life here, his last week on earth. And we thank the Lord that you would help us to be the disciples that wouldn't cry out, crucify, but would be weeping along the trail that led to the cross. And then, Lord, help us to rejoice on Sunday at the resurrection and the first light, that the power that you have to bring the Lord Jesus back to life, that at his name every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus is Lord. And so we shout Hosanna today. Hosanna to you, Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Lord, hear us as we pray and teach us how to pray as Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Invite you to join me in standing for our second hymn, and it is number 387. Scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, Why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, Because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, Why are you loosing the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus. And they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with loud voice and with all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed is he, the King, who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray for me, please? Lord, we just pause in your presence to ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds now would be acceptable in your sight. You are the great King of the universe. Lord, would you allow your word to go forth in power? And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, happy Holy Week. Today is Palm Sunday, and some call this Passion Sunday. It's the beginning of Holy Week. It seems like the holidays come around fairly quickly these days, and here we are at the Easter already. We celebrate the week of Jesus' last life here, and leading up to the cross, and of course the resurrection on Sunday. This is, I think, such a special time of the year, and even though the calendar moves so quickly, I think we just want to pause and take time to enjoy not just spring, but the religious significance of the series of events that is the greatest thing on the Christian calendar. This is the high water mark for Christians. It is a time to celebrate, to rejoice that we serve a risen Savior. You know, millions of believers around the world will join us. Those of us here on the ridge, whereas others all across the country, all across the world, millions will come to celebrate and to rejoice. And rejoice that Jesus is alive, that he is risen. There will be all kinds of services held this week. Night prayer vigils with candles, Good Friday services, and of course sunrise for Resurrection Day. The ancient phrase, he is risen indeed, will be shouted again and again, voiced in victorious song. Many churches will have palm branches they'll hand out today for their parishioners and to wave in celebration of Palm Sunday, to rejoice in the Lamb of God's triumph over sin and death and the grave. And the phrase, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, will be spoken again and again today. I think we joined the crowds of long ago to cheer for Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I remember in high school, we had either at a sporting event or maybe some social event or club, something would happen, and it was like three cheers for so-and-so. And so, hip, hip, hooray, hip, hip, hooray, hip, hip, hooray. That should be the attitude and the heart message that we have today. You know, back then, they wanted Jesus to be the kind of king that they envisioned. They thought he was coming to do away with these Romans, to kick them out of our country and to set things straight again. But instead, Jesus came into Jerusalem not riding a war horse, but riding a donkey, a symbol of peace and humility. The last time I preached this message, it was back in 2019 when I preached on this scripture, focused on donkeys and the rocks. You know, there's very significance about the fact that he chose a donkey, one that was never ridden before. And as the scripture ends here by saying that, you know, if he silenced the crowd, there was so much energy in the air that even the rocks then would cry out. And so we took a look at that last time. But this time, I'd like for us to take a look at the beginning of the story, to focus on the owners of the donkey and their willingness to lend him to the Lord. Palm Sunday sermons should include the fact that this is Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the high water mark for their ministry as the 3 years together with him. And so the disciples are very excited. They've been with Jesus. They've seen some wonderful things. And now he's heading into the capital. And can you imagine what he could do there? And so they're excited. And as they descend the Mount of Olives, you can have a beautiful panoramic view of the city and the Temple Mount. And as they picture that, they were excited about what Jesus was going to do. You know, this is one of the few accounts that's recorded in all four Gospels. And it's slightly different in each one, but here Luke is focusing here on these owners of the donkeys and the fact that he's riding a donkey into Jerusalem. These were joyous events, and they were predicted hundreds of years before. And Jesus fulfills this scene. And so, unlike for us, before we get to the parade and the entry into Jerusalem, The interchange between Jesus and his disciples and the fact that this donkey is used in the processional. So I want to read again just the beginning here of this passage. And it came to pass that he drew near to Bethany, that's just right over the Mount of Olives. Bethany is about 2 miles. You kind of have to go around the mount to get through there. But it's within walking distance, about 2 miles. And they're there at Mount of Olivet. And so as they're getting close to the city, Jesus calls his disciples to say, saw two of them, and he says, you know, go into the village opposite you, where you'll find a colt tied there, one that no one has ever sat on. And you're to loose it and bring it here. And then if anyone asks you why you're doing that, tell him because the Lord has need of it. And as they went their way, they did as they were told. They were obedient. They went and they found just as he had said. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners said to them, why are you loosening the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And then they threw their clothes on the colt, symbol of showing respect for Jesus, and sat Jesus on him. And they headed down to the Mount of Olives, into Jerusalem. And the multitude, the disciples and the others began to cry out and to rejoice. You know, this is an amazing thing. The crowds here are shouting, 3 cheers for Jesus. And many in that same crowd are going to be the ones on Friday. They're going to say, crucify him. He didn't turn out to be exactly what they wanted. But at first, they're excited. And so I'd like to share with you 3 cheers for Jesus, 3 points that I'd like to make about this passage. The first one is the loyalty and the obedience to the rabbi and the ownership of the donkey. I'd like for you to consider the relationship here. The willingness to surrender to Jesus' request, and who is really calling the shots. Say that loyalty is faithfulness to a person to whom fidelity is owned. Loyalty is the bonding of individuals in a long-term commitment of sacrificial support and defense. Loyalty is using difficult times to demonstrate my commitment to those I serve. The rewards of loyalty are bonding and trust. I think of the donkey here, its owner. They must have felt something loyalty to Jesus. Obviously, they've heard about this famous rabbi, this miracle-working man. And it would have been customary with so many pilgrims coming into Jerusalem that it was a Jewish tradition to show hospitality. And so as the Passover was nearing, thousands of people would come to the capital to celebrate Passover. And so I would imagine people put people up in their homes and offered people whatever they could. Most people were poor. And so it would have been a blessing to be able to give Jesus something, to offer Jesus something. So there must have been some sense of loyalty there. They trusted him. They trusted his disciples. It's enough to honor his request. You know, it would have been the owner's honor to be able to give a famous rabbi something. It would have been a great honor. I wondered if afterwards, did he say, hey, you want to come and see the donkey that Jesus rode? Notice this donkey over here? Jesus was the first one to ride him. I don't know if he did that or not, but I'm sure he had the privilege and the blessing. What an honor to have Jesus use something of his. And then there's the issue of obedience. Obedience is submission to one's will to another authority. It is quickly and cheerfully carrying out the wise direction of those who are responsible for us. Obedience is the freedom to be creative under the protection of divinely appointed authorities. And the rewards of obedience are protection, provision, and direction. So I wondered, as these people were obviously loyal to Jesus' cause, to Jesus himself, and they were obedient to him. Jesus' disciples here show obedience. They go immediately and do what he asks. I wonder if we're that loyal. I wonder if we're that obedient to Jesus. The third part of this I was wondering about was ownership. Consider the principle of ownership, to have something, to possess something, to be the proprietor of something. Doesn't God really own it all anyway? Isn't everything really God's in the first place? Isn't everything we have really a gift from God?
Amen.
And so, ownership. You know, in some texts it says the Lord has need of it. But it can also be translated, its master has need of it. And another interesting thing, if you take a look at this passage in the Greek, now I'm not very Greek, and so, but the commentator tells me that there is a little bit of a difference in the wording here between the words Lord and the words owner. It's the difference between a big K and a little K, if you will. The word for Lord is kairos, K-Y-R-I-O-S. The word for owners is kaira, K-Y-R-I-O-I. And so there's a difference in the spelling at the end of the word here. Kairos is Lord, kairai is owners. Why did the owner of the colt respond so readily to Jesus' request? It might be that Kairos, Jesus, has the authority over all of human authorities, over all human owners. Jesus has the ultimate authority, and they recognize that. The third cheer for Jesus here is considering loaning and giving. Giving to the master, giving to the ministry. It's a worthy cause. Have you ever had people ask you to borrow something? Did you lend it? Most likely people today ask for money, right? Hey, can you help me with my rent? Can you help me with this bill? Most of the time our loaning is in the form of money. Perhaps you gave that because you knew the person, or you knew that maybe you'll get it back. I can't tell you how many people have asked me for money and promised on their mother's deathbed or whatever, promised on a stack of Bibles that they would give it back. And you know, when I give it, I know it's not coming back. It usually doesn't. But we borrow and we lend. I think it's strange, the things that I think about when I'm preparing a message, but I thought about a picture we have at home. It's a picture of our family, and we had friends, and they had a nice home and a big fireplace, you know, one of those gas fireplaces you just turn on, and a perfect scene for a Christmas photo. And so I said, hey, can I come over and could we sit in front of your fireplace and have you take our picture for our family Christmas photo? And they're like, sure thing, that'd be great. So we did that, you know. I borrowed their gas fireplace for a photo. Have you ever borrowed something from someone? Did you return it? To borrow means to take something on the understanding that it'll be returned later. Now, the text doesn't say, but I'm pretty sure the disciples returned that colt, don't you think? They returned that donkey back to its owners after the parade. I'm pretty sure that happened. You know, I think about borrowing, think about down on the farm, and my stepdad was a giver. I think there's probably two kinds of people in the world, takers and givers. And Dad was willing to loan. And oftentimes another farmer or a friend would come and want to know if they could borrow a piece of machinery or a wagon or a tool of some kind. And Dad often would give it. He would lend it. Sometimes we'd have to go and fetch it back. And I remember this one time we went to the farm next road over, and Dad wasn't too happy that day. We were in need of the wagon, and he had borrowed a wagon a couple weeks before and hadn't brought it back yet. And so we had to go and fetch the wagon and bring it back. But I also was thinking, I'm pretty sure the next time that guy asked for something, Dad lent it again. I believe we got it back that time then. So he was a little bit ashamed that he hadn't brought the wagon back. But when we lend something, when we borrow something, we should make sure we return it. To not return something is stealing. Back in the Wild West, did you know it was a crime, a capital crime, to steal a horse? And so they looked not very favorable on someone who took a horse without permission. That was the main mode of transportation. And a horse could be worth a lot of money. And so if you were caught taking a horse, it could cost you your life. In many countries still, even today, if you're caught stealing, you could lose a finger or a hand as punishment. The scriptures don't say so, but I'm pretty sure the disciples returned that donkey. Have you ever asked for a ride? You know, the loss of driving privilege is one of the greatest complaints of senior citizens that I hear. Loss of freedom, loss of being able to go where you want, where you want, when you want. Having to depend on others to take you here and there is quite frustrating. My aunt is furious right now with her only daughter because she took the car keys away from her. My aunt is over 90 now. She still lives alone and takes care of everything. And yet, she was starting to show signs of not being quite as sharp as she used to. And so my cousin took the keys away. She has to walk a couple blocks now to get to a store. And that was felt to be safer than her driving and causing an accident. Jesus could have walked into Jerusalem that day, but he chose not to. He chose to ask for a ride. And this beast of burden, never ridden before, gives the Prince of Peace a lift. Jesus fulfills these prophecies. You know, there are hundreds of prophecies about the Messiah. And the chances of one person fulfilling just a few of those is astronomical. Jesus fulfills all the prophecies. And here this scene was predicted years before. The other thing, too, is to remember that Jesus identifies by asking for a ride, he identifies with the people. Most people, almost all the people at that time were poor. Many were in slavery working out their debt, and they would identify with someone who didn't have their own transportation. The third cheer for Jesus is loud praises here to the King of Kings. The people following Jesus and his ministry were excited for the various reasons. In this whole scene being predicted centuries before, they didn't realize they were fulfilling Scripture until later. But they're rejoicing, they're hoping that Jesus is in charge now. Jesus is going to change things. Going to turn the politics of this time upside down. It's going to better their lives. Maybe even be some changes in religion. Kick out some of those old Pharisees and put in somebody with some new ideas, some new blood. Jesus could have done that, but he chose not to. He didn't come in as the people of that time would have been familiar with. A conquering king would have paraded into the city on a war horse and the spoils of the war trailing in behind them and the people cheering for the victory. No, he comes in with a donkey, a symbol of peace. He wasn't there to upset things. And yet the world continues to clamor for changes. I think it's very much like today. Don't we want some changes? Wouldn't we like to see some changes in the political field? Wouldn't we like to see some changes in our situation? Inflation at a 40-year high. But I think the Pharisees in the crowd are calling for other changes. The culture has changed so much in just our times. Trying to quiet Christians today. Don't use Jesus' name in public prayer. Don't use Christian terms for holidays observed in schools. Don't refuse to cater to the demands and the agenda of the LGBTQ community, or you'll be labeled a hate crime. You'll be labeled homophobic. So many voices shouting today, and yet the Christian voice is not allowed. You know, here, they didn't care. This scene could have been treason. The Romans could have viewed this event as treason, and they could have killed everyone in the crowd that day. It was that in your face. The capital and the unrest that was going on at that time, and then to have people declaring Jesus a new king, it would have been seen as treason. And yet they rejoiced, and they rejoiced loudly, and they cried out. Of all days, this should be a day that we as Christians celebrate. This should be a day that we praise God loudly. We should wave our palm branches. We should fly a flag. We should hang out a banner, roll out the red carpet, hang our cap, throw our cap up in the air, and to shout Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We didn't read it, but if you go on just a little bit further in Luke's account, Jesus' reaction is quite interesting. I suspect at the beginning Jesus is all smiles. And then they come and turn around to the corner, and as they're coming down the slope, they get this grand view of the city, the mount, the temple. What a beautiful scene that would have been. And Jesus begins to cry. Jesus cries because he realizes that the people are missing this moment. This is a very critical moment in history, and you missed the Messiah. And in just one generation, all of this is going to be destroyed. In 70 years, in 70 AD, in just about 40 years, Jerusalem was leveled, the temple destroyed. People's lives changed forever. It must have been like that back during World War II. You know, in 1942, the first American troops entered into London. And they were marching, and as they were marching down the city, they were entering, getting ready to go into the conflict. And the London people were cheering for the new American soldiers that were coming to help. This friendly reception just kind of help the soldiers kind of step a little bit more brightly and proud. And they began singing. And as they turned a corner, they came down a street that London had seen the worst of. It was blown to bits. The great wounds of the city laid out before them as the bombs from the air dropped and destroyed much of London. And they realized that the city had suffered terribly in just this part of the war. And the young soldiers, whose hearts were full of joy and excitement and enthusiasm, suddenly turned to great sadness. You know, our thoughts when we think about what we see on the news, also are very similar to that. We are excited for what could be, and then we see the tragedy of Ukraine for those who have lost so much. A new day is coming, though. A new day is around the corner. The Prince of Peace will reign. This is an interesting day. It is a day to rejoice. It is a day to celebrate. Our Lord reigns. The Prince of Peace is coming, perhaps very soon. Our troubled world needs him. And I think of the donkey owners, their willingness to lend to the Lord. And so it's easy to give Jesus three cheers. Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! But are we willing to also then to do something to back up those cheers, to be willing to give, to do what needs to be done, to speak up when we have a chance? I love the words of the hymn. There's a Palm Sunday hymn, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor," in the Brethren Hymnal. It goes like this: "All glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. The people of the Hebrews with palms before thee went, our praise and prayer and anthems before thee we present. Thou art the King of Israel, thou David's royal son, who in the Lord's name comest, the King of Blessed One. And to thee before thy passion they sang their hymns of praise. To thee now, high exalted, our melody we raise. Thou didst accept their praise, accept the praise we bring, who in all good delightest, thou good and gracious King. All glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring." Three cheers for Jesus. To be loyal and obedient, to remember ownership, really the Master's, it's his. To be willing to loan, to give to the ministry, to do what we need to in the days ahead. And to be ready to shout praises, to declare that it is Jesus who is King. Brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's Palm Sunday. Our Lord's Passion, we again remember this week. It's Holy Week. Let us celebrate. Let us rejoice. I invite you to come back this evening and join us for Love Feast. What a blessed time it is to share in Love Feast and share in the communion. And we do that because Jesus said, "Remember me." And so we remember him tonight. We hope that you'll be a part of that. Let us pray. Almighty and Heavenly Father, Creator of us all, we come to you in the name of the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. And in the presence of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we want to thank you for this wonderful season from Luke's Gospel here. We see this first Palm Sunday processional, and we rejoice in this season of spring and this being Passion Sunday. Thank you, too, for your reign over us, Lord. We praise you. We bow before you as citizens of the heavenly kingdom. And, Lord, we proclaim you our sovereign King, our Master, our Savior. And so, Father, would you help us to yield to your Lordship each day, to be obedient to your commands, and to truly praise you from our hearts. And we pray for those who are spiritually blind to you, Lord, who want to silence the praise. We pray especially, Lord, for our loved ones, our friends and acquaintances who we know need you. Maybe they've been on our prayer list for some time. We pray that you'd help those who are lost to see you in all of your majesty. And so we pray that you would break the power of the enemy to fool people into thinking that they can live their lives apart from acknowledging you as sovereign. And Lord, help them to realize that they can't find their own way to salvation, but you are the way, the truth, and the life. And so let this Holy Week, Lord, be a time when souls are saved, and help us to celebrate your resurrection from the dead. May we rejoice as we recall your coming into our lives, to let the joy of the angels be ours as others come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord. Help us, Lord, to freely give you praise in any situation, around anyone. Help us, Lord, to prepare for Easter. Lord, may we be willing to lend to you, to give loyalty to you. May we always be willing to give to the Lord, and especially to give the praises that he so deserves. It's for your honor, for your glory, and for your praise that we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Would you join me in standing as we share together hymn number 148. Now this Palm Sunday benediction. May the blessed King Hosanna to the Son of David, who came in the name of the Lord, lowing and riding a donkey, find a triumphal entry into every humble heart as he brings the peace and glory of heaven this Palm Sunday, tomorrow, and upon each ensuing encounter of his grace. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, Amen.